Mark continues and says, again, this is Chazer. Upon Lecha Azul, where did Chanan Yeshav Azayu go? Again, after this Kibshin Ha'ish, you don't hear from them anymore. So what happened to them? Want a Gemara? Yeah. Yes, sit down.
Okay.
Okay, fine. Okay, you can open up whatever you want. Tzadik Gimel. Four lines down from where it gets wide. Okay? So Rabbanu Lecha Adl, Amarav, Bayan Hara Mesu. And this we discussed last time, that they died because of an Ayan Hara. And we discussed what that meant a little bit, that they stood out, and it was like everybody was looking at them, and Mamela created a certain Ayan Hara against them that caused them to pass away. Then Shmuel argues, and Shmuel says, Roik Tavu, they drowned in the spit. It means like this, that what happened was that when Nebuchadnezzar told everybody to bow down, so a lot of people did. They were scared for their lives. They didn't want to get thrown into there. Yeah, a lot of people did. Chanan Mishav Azariah did it. But what happened was that when Chanan Mishav Azariah came out of the or caused them, they came out of the furnace, and they were caused, they came out of the fire, and they were unharmed. So the busha was so great, the Marsha explains, it doesn't really mean that the spit from the goyim that they were making fun of the yidden is what drowned them, because that spit was on Klai Yisrael too. So just like Hanan Yimishav Azayah passed away, Klai Yisrael should have died from the spit as well if it was so overwhelming. Teretz says it's a metaphor, it's just a mashal. It means that there was so much busha to the yidden that they had bowed down, that in order to, that there should be less busha, Chanan Mishav Azariah died. It means like this. A mashal. If let's say you have you're in business, you have a partner in business, okay? Now, it's important for the business to be successful that the partner never doubts your honesty. And if Chas Hashem that ever becomes an issue where he catches you in a situation where, you know, saying, hey, maybe you've been ripping me off all these years, so you can never fix that. You can't fix it. It creates a certain tension, okay? Now, let's say you are taka being a little bit not so straight, and some stranger catches you, figures it out. So you're embarrassed a certain amount, but at the end of the day, it doesn't really affect you that stark, because if you want, you can arrange never to see this guy again. You don't have to come on to him for anything. You don't need him for anything. So there's a limit to that embarrassment. It's scheidweilig. You need this. It means it lasts for a little while and then goes away. It dissipates with time. However, if you're busted by your partner, that level of busha is so much greater and will never fully go away. Because there's a certain expectation, a certain trust. You broke that trust. There's more busha there. Good. Klai Yisrael. They bow down to the Avodah Zarah. They're very embarrassed. Because the Maisa, it's an embarrassing thing to do. But now, they're standing in front of Chanan Mishav Azariah, who didn't. They withstood the challenges, and they were saved. How much greater is their busha, says the Marsha? A million times more. So in order that busha, that embarrassment, should be somewhat minimized, Chanan Yimishav Azariah had to die. This is what the Marsha says in Shan and Shmuel. Now, it uses a metaphor of the spit being spit at. It's a sign of humiliation. And the humiliation that Klai Yisrael was going through is so strong that in order to prevent that to mitigate, take away some of that embarrassment, Chanan Yisrael Azariah died. Now, this is what we'll discuss tonight, just to understand this concept. How does that work? How does it work that to care so much about another person, they have to realize, if Chanan Yisrael Azariah were just some strangers, there wouldn't have been any Busha here. It had to be that there was a certain caring. They were involved so much in each individual's life, or so much connected, that that's what created a much greater tension, a bigger anxiety, and much more embarrassment. So that's what I want to discuss a little bit tonight. It's interesting. It's interesting to see that the different levels of chesed, of avas chesed, when you do for people, care for people. And took a lima we could take from this. These three greats of the generation died. Well, for what? So that the embarrassment of their fellow Jew would be slightly less. Now think about it. Imagine, how much good could Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah have accomplished had they stayed alive? A tremendous amount. Who could imagine? How could we even try to estimate what their accomplishments could have been? And yet, with all that, it was better that they should die to make sure that Klal Yisrael had a little less embarrassment than all of that. That's a tremendous statement. Are we that careful when we deal with people not to create an issue? It's a joke. We're not in that. We don't think along those lines. Avraham Avinu, he heard that Sodom was going to get destroyed. Now, he went and he davened. Sodom didn't know he was davening. He wasn't going to get anything back from Sodom. What inspired Avraham Avinu to do that? What inspired him to do it? The answer is, if his tshuka, his desire to try to do for somebody else was so great, it knew no bounds. There were no limits. Avraham Avinu knew one thing. He's here to try to do good for people. He wasn't expecting anything back in return. And who was he doing it for? People that were Shalom Gemurim. They were Ma'oid. The Pasuk says that Rabbi Eni Hashem Ma'oid. Sodom was not full of righteous people. And that's why when Avraham Avinu was trying to get Tzaddikim there to save the town, he wasn't successful. He fell short. He couldn't even get 10 in the whole town. And yet, it didn't prevent Avraham Avinu from throwing himself into it with his whole soul, everything, to try to save Sodom. And the Medrash says that if Hashem would not have walked away from him, he would have gotten Hashem down to 2 or 1. And maybe he could have saved Sodom. Who knows? It's a tremendous statement. Tremendous statement. What are we talking about already? Sodom. What was Sodom? What was Sodom? I heard today from the Rish Kela over there where I am, Rabbi Levy, Nachum Levy, he said an interesting thing. He's on the hair, but if you'll take a look, it says that by the 4 kings and the 5 kings where they went to war, it just says that they, Vayaku, they killed them. But it doesn't say that by Sodom. By Sodom it says that they took all of the stuff out of Sodom. It says when they went to war, so it says here, the lashon is that they took the it's called Ochlam Vayelechu. Called Rechush Shadayim. It's called Ochlam Vayelechu. They took the whole, everything, even the food, And he asked a very interesting question. You don't find that they took the food from all the rest of the four and five kings when they went to war. What did they need the food for? And he answered, because Mita Kenegad Mita, there was no Achanas Asarachim. They wouldn't give anything. They were mean to the evil to the highest level that the Mita Kenegad Mita was that the things that were so important to them were taken from them as well. Everything was gone. They lost everything. And you notice by Lloyd, it just says that by Lloyd, it doesn't say anything like that. That because Lloyd was Machnas Erech, and therefore he didn't have to get punished in that respect. So you see a very interesting thing, that they were on the lowest level Shaykh. The lowest level Shaykh. And this is what Avram davened for. Rav Avigdor Miller points out that when Avraham Avinu and Lloyd separated, it was a tragedy of monumental proportions for Lloyd, but yet an opportunity of monumental proportions for Avraham Avinu. He was unencumbered by Lloyd in his service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem came to him after Lloyd left. He part of Lloyd Me'olai, Hashem came and appeared to Avraham Avinu. Kol Zman, Avraham was Lloyd, Hashem didn't even appear to him. But Lloyd, separating from his Ruchnius, from his conduit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that connection to his Rebbe, Avraham Avinu, he severed it. And even though Avraham Avinu was still there and came and saved him in the war, when they took Lloyd captive, it was not the same. They were on such a low madrega, and this is what was going on, and Avraham Avinu still went and davened for them. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's the concept of caring. Hanani Mishael of Azariah couldn't stay alive even in an indirect way. They were causing tzar to Klal Yisrael, even though Klal Yisrael deserved the tzar. It was just too painful for them. It couldn't be saved. It wasn't Shaykh. So Melo, they weren't able to stay alive. That's an amazing thing. Now, Rav Chatzka Levenstein, the Sefer, brings down an interesting thing. It's very Negea today. It's Negea. It's Stamazah. It's always Negea. The Gemara in Brachas says, I want to use this as an opportunity to share something with you. Maybe you'll share it with other people as well. It's not directly linked up with this Gemara, but it's indirectly. It's good enough that we can discuss it. Just to recap quickly so you'll feel connected for the next few minutes till the end. The Gemara said that Hanani Mishael, the next Shita, Shmuel, that Hanani Mishael there died, not because of Ayin Hara, obviously like we discussed last week, but because of there was so much humiliation to the Jews that had bowed down, that when they were in front of Hanani Mishael Yerazari, the embarrassment was that much greater, so they had to pass away to mitigate, to take away some of that bush of the Klal Yisrael. And we're discussing tonight this concept of really caring about people, the accomplishments that they could have accomplished if they stayed alive are you can't measure them, and yet it was kedai for them to die, and that created that there was a little bit less tsar to Klal Yisrael. That's a tremendous statement. It's powerful. And we want to understand that. That's what we're discussing now. Did you understand what I just
said? That again?
The Gemara. Shmuel said
that
the reason why they died, according to the Marshal, that they died because to mitigate the fusha. And I'll read you the Lashon so just you'll feel connected. The Marshal says that Marshal says Shmuel Lama Ben Roy. The problem is that they died from the spit of the Goyim, that there was so much spit when they were humiliating the Jews that they died. The question is that really all of the Klal Yisrael should have died with the same thing. If it was real, if it wasn't a metaphor, if it wasn't a mashal, so then says the Rashi, everybody should have died because Klal Yisrael was also getting overwhelmed by that spit from the Goyim when they humiliated the Jews. So the Marsha says that it's only a Moshe. Lafarish is derech moshel. Now you dare keep the shulayim to come Yisrael. How you make baishin? They were embarrassed. Okay, Jerome, Chananya, Mishael, Azari, Kedavam, Eliel, Arkein, Mesu, Shal Yirma, Vaishin, Yisrael, Eid, Al Yodam.
When did they
die?
How long after this?
Seems quite, you don't hear from them again. Put it that way. So it seems subsequently, pretty quickly. Okay? So, we were discussing the concept of Avraham Avinu, Davin for Shazam, kind of caring for somebody else, not expecting to get anything back in return. A tremendous level of chesed. Now, we all know, and if we don't know, it's good to know, the most important thing, and it really is the most important thing, no matter how you want to come from it, any angle, in Shalom Bayis, you want to get along with your wife. How do you get along with her? By always being in a giving mode as opposed to the what's in it for me mode. That's in a nutshell. It's complicated and it's hours and hours worth of lectures to figure out the dynamics. You know, it really is. It's weeks and weeks of lectures. But in a nutshell, the concept of being a giver for Yenim, caring for Yenim, being sensitive to Yenim, not worrying about yourself so much or at all, that's usually a key to success in any relationship you're going to have. It's the key to it. But I want to use the opportunity. Rav Chatzko brings out a couple of interesting things. There's a Gemara in Brachas that says like this. Shechayev Adam Hachlois Esatzmai Avotam Chacham Shechala. A person is a chayev to make himself sick over a Talmud Chacham that's not well. V'ayinu noisib erlem zulasai. That means being noisib erl. It means carrying the burden with him. Shechayev lito atzmai erl v'sobel chaveri kaviyachol shehu ba'atzmai shalash. You have to be in the mode as if it's happening to you. Now, his marshal that he brings, it's true, his mom is true. Sometimes you're in a shul, and you have to daven in the chazan gets up and he says, like, it's to heal him. He says, tell him, someone's sick. Unfortunately, everybody knows what's going on in their own mind. So I'm going to just be general. A lot of times, or most of the time, or almost all of the time, most of the people, or probably almost all of the people, are not in the mood. And what happens is some actually do, some just read the words quickly, just to be yitzhak. But does anybody really take a second to stop and think, hey, there's somebody that's sick, probably b'sakana gedayla. And my tefillah, my capital tilam, might make that difference in Shemayim. You know something? I'm going to give it my whole kayach. Or we don't even stop to think about it. Says Rav Chatzko, unfortunately, we don't even stop to think about it. Now, that's an opportunity, along with many opportunities, to care for somebody else without really even doing anything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that. And Hashem treats us in the same manner in which we treat other people. So if we would view it as an investment in ourselves, we would take it much, much more seriously. That's the truth. But unfortunately, we don't do that. Why not? Because we don't connect ourselves to the situation. We always look at it like, oh, it's that person. When it hits us, it hits us at home, then already we get tuned in much, much more. We tune in a much more real way. And it helps us be able to, so, there's many different levels. Chanan, Mishael, Azariah, they died so as to minimize the embarrassment of Klal Yisrael. That's a tremendous. But let that go there. First, let's step back and work on the easier level about giving from us for Yedim, because that's what it hurts us. It stirs us. It bothers us that we can't sleep at night. And the truth of the matter is that at the end of the day, it makes us much better people. Much better people. It happens all the time. All the time. There was a famous story. I mean, you probably know it. Maybe 8 years ago, 7 years ago, there was a trip in New York that a bunch of a camp went on a trip with their campers. And they were in one of these densely real mountain, and one child got lost. And unfortunately, these stories happen all the time, and it created a whole big thing where there were buses leaving from all over the tri-state, all over the, you know, to go travel up to the mountains where it was, a 2-3 hour trip, to go walk through the mountains and to join in the search party. The more people there, the more of the area you could cover. And this is a girl that was missing really two full nights. After the first night, the local police were agreed to bring in more people. And to be very, very honest with you, most people, reality was that they didn't think they were going to find anything. We're talking about miles and miles and miles and miles of just trees. I mean, that's it. Miles. And the Misa, there was signs hanging up on the poles and about buses were leaving from such and such place and such and such place. So there was a yeshiva, the Mir Yeshiva of Shmuel Birnbaum, Zecharei Levracha, a man in his mid-80s, low-80s at the time, not a well man, also a tzaddik. He never stopped learning. I don't know if you've heard about him, but he never stopped learning. I mean, it's it. He just never stopped learning. His own grandchildren knew if they wanted him by the wedding, they'd have to make it if they said. And that was a fact. He didn't miss. If he went to Eretz Yisrael or whatever, he made sure to be back Sunday morning for Shir. That was it. If he went to Toronto for a wedding, he drove, had someone driving back overnight so he could be there for Shir in the morning. He never missed. And this went on for 50 years, 60 years, from the time in Japan, Jakai. He never missed morning. And they see him, he had a little thing with a couple of swarm and a couple of things, and he shows up at the bus stop, you know, 5-10 minute walk away from the yeshiva. You know, his morning uncle, whatever. It's like, for example, if I told you, I meet you on Kishon and Sir Ake, and there's a bus leaving to go wherever. He had to take a 10-minute walk. And he shows up there, and everybody looks at him, what's the yeshiva doing, kid? He says, I'm going to look for my daughter. They looked at him for a second, and you saw the tremendous anxiety in his face. I can't concentrate. I'm so worried for her. Now, obviously, the Olam over there did not let him go. But it took a tremendous amount of fighting. To the point where they push him, it's like kind of frustrating to go. But not only that, the only way they convinced him, I think, at the end was by saying that, look, we'll walk in the desert. You go back and sit on the line, probably your learning will be the reason why we find that. The mice is on the third day they attack a founder alive. The nest. But the point is, she had the almost and she said she couldn't go nowhere. But the point is that that's called, and he didn't do it to get covered. He didn't do it because everybody was going to write in the newspaper what he did. You only know about it because I told you about it now. Most people didn't even know what happened. These are people that were connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they did what Hashem wanted. Now, again, that's an extreme case. But in our day-to-day lives, we have these examples all the time. All the time. And we just don't tune into it. Like Rav Chassidus says, you say to him, mean it. Think about it. Care about it. You hear about it, Sarah. Daven. Daven for it. I'll give you an example. This is something Rav Avigdor Miller would probably say. I don't know. Never heard him say it. So I have to tell you that I'm just imagining. Okay? I'll give you a dogma. I could be off. I could be off, but it's something like this over the years, he would say. Potentially, sitting here now on, what is this already? Tes Cheshvan, or it's close to it, something like that. Yud, I don't know where we're holding Yud already. And it's November 6th or 7th, whatever the date is, I don't know. 10 o'clock at night on Sunday night. Do we know what the situation is going to be like in Eretz Yisrael tomorrow for somebody who has an appointment for to go because his kidneys don't work and he needs to have it taken care of, or because someone has an emergency because he has cancer and he has to travel from Kiryat Sefer to Shari Tzedek in order to get a treatment, or it's potentially going to be very difficult to get around tomorrow for people who rely on things that might be on Shabbat tomorrow, right? It's a possibility. Now, I'm new to this town, and therefore, where I come from, most of the time, this wouldn't happen, because at 4 o'clock in the morning, they'd reach some sort of a deal. And the only reason why is, of course, they would be losing more money by doing it than by not doing it. And money is what counts. So, but I'm not there anymore. This knew me, now he was here. I have no idea how it works over here. And it's very possible over here that the personalities are of, no, jump in the light. If we don't have, if our things aren't met, we're not showing up tomorrow. It's very possible. Is anybody going to daven that the people that are going to be totally put out should have siyata d'shmaya tomorrow a different way so that their tzar should be limited? Well, we're all going to be focused in on ourselves. Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to say, and this he used to say, when you hear a siren, daven that if it's a yid, you should have a full shalem. If it's a mommy going to the hospital, the baby should be healthy. Of course, then he's stuck in it. And if it's a guy, okay, he should get stuck in traffic. You know, whatever it is. You know. But the point was, what he was trying to say, but be aware of your surroundings. We have so many opportunities. We have so many opportunities to care, to connect. And all in the context, Hanan Mishael Azariah died just so that the busha would be less. They were still embarrassed. But that the busha would be less, according to the Marsha. It's powerful. Now, Lamaisa, if we would think about it though, it's really an investment in ourselves, because the way we are with people, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us. That's the mitzvah. The way we are. And not only that, we ourselves will gain, because people will be like that to us also. There is that concept. So Lamaisa, see, his lashon is like this. He says like this. Interesting, there's a Gemara in Bava Metzia. I should tell you a Gemara. Two people were walking, they're traveling, and they have a jug of water. One jug of water. Okay? It's very hot. And they're traveling, and they're ready to both pass out and drop it. You probably know this Gemara. And there's enough water for one person to survive. If they're both going to drink from this water, they're both going to die. Because there's not enough water half the water is not enough to keep any one of them alive. Okay? So one of them is doomed. Okay? So the Gemara says, over there, Mutav Yemusu Shnehem Val Yire Echor B'Misus Chaveri. Ben Petura said, better they should both die in order so that Reuven shouldn't have to see Shimon die and Shimon shouldn't have to see Reuven die. So therefore, both die.
One's going to see the other die anyway.
What? Somebody yeah, but not because I drank the water and you didn't get it. Okay?
Not for that reason.
Right. Now, Achibur Rekiva, Torah Rekiva came, and he tarshin v'chechicha imach hayecha koinim. That means that if it's Reuven's water, he could have it. Because hayecha koinim, Rebbe Kiva tarshin. If it's Shimon's water, he could have it. But what Rebbe Kiva moide to? That if it's not Reuven's water, if it's just a jug of water, then they tackle both have to die. So that you're not the one who now that's an amazing thing. That's what he says over here. Okay? Chazinan, Shalaval Mesiris Aguf Mamish, Avorcha, besides for Mesiris Aguf, Shazet, Nilman Mikrosh, Enechayev, Chayev, Limsa, Atzma, Yavos, Elosai, not only with words. Over here, even we're giving his life. And Marsha says on that Gemara, it's Gemara Bavansina, Marsha says that Rabbi Akiva is only saying it when the water belongs to one person. If the water has just as much shaykhis to both of these people, says Marsha, Osur le'echod lishtais, it's forbidden. Ve'odiv she'yemusu shneim. Better they should both die. The my chosis the dama didcha sumak tfei midchaver. Why is his blood any redder than his blood? It's the same. The same. You can't make this decision. And chol ze nichlal va'aftol reacha kamoicha. This is what nichlal va'aftol reacha kamoicha. That the mesiris hanefesh is the mesiris aguf mamish. That yechayev limsa nafshay avor chaveri. Please give your life. I'm stronger than him. I could grab the water away. You're not allowed. Isn't that amazing? And it's Gemara, Masha. Okay, these are extreme cases. But why can't we at least, when you're saying Tillim, be saying Tillim like we care? There are a lot of Tillim that are not well now. Eretz Yisrael was missing corner constantly, and now it's just getting worse.
If it's
Reuven's
water, Shimon's water,
what do you mean?
He has to share.
Because it says to Rebbe Akiva that Chayecha Koydman. Rebbe Akiva darshan from a pasuk that the halacha is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously orchestrated. This guy has the water and it's his water. So
see, that's where the issue is. That's where the issue is. What? People think this is mine, I have to take care of mine, and I don't have to give them.
You're right, but
that's the same point.
No, it's not, because Lamaisa. If the pasuk says chayachicha imach chayecha koydman, so then the halacha is that when now is room for one to live and one to die, the ratzon Hashem is that if this is yours, so then you get it. It's not pshat, and he doesn't. Again.
So just to cut this short, so we could. Tends to be people's feeling, maybe my feeling, sorry, that I have my problems and that person has that problems. That's the same thing. Yeah. I have my water and he doesn't have water.
If
he
you have, yeah,
that's why we don't daven for other people, because we have that other part.
You're saying what goes through everybody's mind, but the difference is very clear. And that is that the difference is that we all have our own bucket of water. In other words, the analogy would be is where everybody has their own bucket of water, just some people are choosing not to drink it. That would be more similar. What we're saying here, the Gemara is saying, is if one guy has water and it's his own water and he brought his own water, it means, says Rabbi Kiva, that he should drink his water because he prepared for this eventuality or whatever the reason is, but this is the situation he's in. The halacha is he's mechuyev to try to do everything he can to keep himself alive. But not at Yenin's expense. What you're saying is that, well, I have my problems, why should I worry about his problems? No, your one of your problems is his problem.
Then it would seem like, in order to get that point across, the thing the Gemara would do much more effective and say, Tahle, how could you see you have your jug of water and you could share it? Share it. Maybe something else would happen. How could you?
Oh, so obviously, the Gemara says, obviously, obviously, where the person's father is going to die. I didn't say that, but they have to. That's what they say over the pressure. It has to be that nothing else could apiteva come up. That the father is going to die. A person bechuyev to try to keep himself alive, if the halacha is that he's allowed to. Again, a person's allowed to keep himself alive. He should bow down to Avodah Zarah and be alive. But halacha says no. Jump into the fire. Sometimes that law dictates to kill yourself, and sometimes not. So it's the same thing here. Taking Yenim's water is equivalent to jumping. Is equivalent to bowing down to Rabbi Zara. If that law dictates, the Kiva says you shouldn't do it, then you can't do it. So this is the general idea of what we're discussing. I will continue on Wednesday, but I just want a minute. Show the